So on in Romans 5, 20 and 21, I'm just going to read that to start, and then we're going to go from there, and then 6, 1 and 2, okay? Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And he's talking about the sin nature, you know, what we used to be through Adam. Okay. But the funny thing is, I read, you know, Gwen and I were talking about it. Reading it, it came actually to mind, and then we went to read it. The reason he's saying that to them is because it does sound like a license to sin. So he's saying, don't do that. Yes, you can. You can do it. And God cannot reverse the cross. He can't change it. He can't take it back because it was already poured out through Jesus Christ. He can't. Grace was poured out. It's too late. He can't reverse the time. But what it's saying is, why would we even want to live in that? Is there any reason, like this, that post that said, oh, this is to deliver, you know, he honors you so much, he'll deliver you out of the purpose for your life. I mean, that's insanity. We want to be delivered into our purpose, not out of it. So it can be used that much. That is someone being that deceived. Because look at this. If we were so deceived that we, you know, whether we were in a cult, whether we were in an addiction, whether we were in behavior that was, you know, just really maybe rage, whatever our issue was, if grace didn't abound, we'd never get out of it. We better trust that grace does abound. And not based on our own behavior. Because if it's based on our own behavior, boy, we're up a creek without a paddle. Because then it's all willpower again. And we might as well be just in the world. Or of the world. Because that's what the world does. They do it through psychology, through medicine, through whatever means is, you know, they can come up with. Without God. Anything without God is acceptable in the world. Anything with God is an offense to the world. That's how it works. But I think it's so important that we get that grace cannot be stopped by us. Ha, 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 says God. You can't stop me from forgiving you. Isn't that amazing? No matter what we do. And that is the essence of grace. It's not based on us. It's based on him. And even faith in him. You know, like it says in Colossians where we were reading before, that faith is based on the hope of the gospel, not on me being so good at faith, but the hope of the gospel. Don't forget the hope of the gospel, it says in Colossians. That's what it's talking about. Don't move from that, because if you move from that, you're going to then start steering yourself in the wrong direction and thinking it's about you again, because that's what we tend to do. We tend to think it's about us. I mean, it's really, you know, to think that my behavior can change God's character is the epitome of arrogance. And calling that humility and saying, well, I'm a good Christian, is even arrogant again. It disgraces God. It disgraces his grace to think it's up to me to keep myself in faith, to keep myself in. And they'll say, you know, scriptures will be used. Oh, well, Paul said, you know, build yourself up, or in Timothy. Or he'll say, you know, these are the precious promises, but these are the other things we need to do. Well, we cannot do it without Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's just a work again. And how many centuries has this been going on that, you know, grace isn't enough? You've got to do something else. It's not true. It's a lie. I actually was astounded. I actually had to confer with someone that is also very strong in Holy Spirit to say, is this insane? Or is this righteousness? Is this the truth? So, where sin abounds, grace abounds the more. Okay, we know that's a scripture. So if we sin, grace pours out even more. It's not going to stop his grace. What will happen is we won't receive the benefit of it in the sense of giving, yielding to him. But we're still going to receive the benefit ultimately, because his sin cannot abound where grace is. It's the other way around. Grace abounds where sin is. So who's got the more? Grace. It breaks things in us. Half the time, we don't even know how we've changed, I would say. Our whole characters are changing from the inside out. Our behaviors change then. Thinking changes. Am I doing all of that? I'm a bit busy helping other people. I don't know how to do that. And everybody else has got their own lives as well. Whether you're in ministry or whether you're helping people or whether you're taking care of your family, you know, that's helping people as well. So we're not internally running around changing all these things. We have to get that it, Holy Spirit is bigger than us and knows what he's doing. And he is that expression of grace on earth inside of us. Because what grace it must have taken for God to say, I want to be one with them. I've given them Jesus Christ and the cross so that I can be, and now I will live in them. I mean, it doesn't get better than that, really. But we need to not put grace in a box and say, because we're so afraid people are going to sin or have a license to sin, which is not what it is. It's a license for him to forgive. It really is. He keeps stressing that. It's my license to forgive. I can forgive you till the cows come home. Or if the cows never come home, I'm forgiving you. It's too bad. We make it so based on us. Once we have received him, we are in grace for the rest of our lives. And when people say, oh, they've fallen from grace, they're misquoting it. Falling from grace means you believe in the law again. You think you're under the law again, and you think it's about you again instead of him, because you don't even live. So who cares what you do? You're dead. You know, I mean, that's how God looks at it. He doesn't value what we were, and he doesn't value what we do when we make mistakes or when we even intentionally sin. It's I feel like he really wants to say, he wants to get us to a point where we're not afraid of grace anymore. Because there's so much fear in the body about grace. They're terrified of it. So they'll turn it into half grace, which is no grace at all. Or they'll turn it into another fear-mongering tool where people have to behave again. And
it abounds grace much more abounds. And when we do sin, You had explained when we were talking before how the grace just keeps pouring even more, that when we realize grace, we don't want to sin. And I realize that grace even causes our soul to prosper, our mind, our will, our emotions, our temper, our addictions. Our life just starts changing by his love and his grace.
Yes.
Until we don't want to sin anymore, or our addictions are broken, or bad habits.
Yes.
That's how I'm seeing it.
Yes.
Because he is changing us. The more we understand grace and not be afraid,
yes,
you know, the more we allow grace to flood our hearts, the more it changes. Even depression.
Oh, can you? Can you? So basically, what Gwen was saying. Gwen, okay, thank you. Okay, we'll come on again. So this is God's attitude, you know, and this is what Holy Spirit showed me. The more you sin, the more grace I pour out. You can't outdo me. I mean, talk about a challenge. We can't outdo him. We can't. The sin, we look at sin and we think it's so offensive, which it is to God. I mean, it was offensive because it's so offensive that he couldn't look at his own son. So I'm not saying sin is something he welcomes. Never. But he doesn't look at us through those eyes anymore. He goes, this is my beloved son who's acting like an idiot. Oh, okay, you're sinning again. Well, guess I've got to pour out some more grace to you. That's how he looks at us. Like we would look at our own children. A child that is misbehaving, we don't hate them. And it's not, oh, love the sin. I mean, love the sinner, not the sin. It's not that either. It's far deeper than that. It's saying, as a parent, and our child is misbehaving all the time, and they're just not getting it, you know, that, look, this, what you're doing is really not helping, and, you know, maybe they've been told not to and all of this, but they just keep willfully sinning. Now, are we going, if we withdraw our love for them, is that going to make them change quicker? Absolutely not. It will make them change, but it'll make them change in the opposite direction. So if God, see, we don't realize grace really is an expression of his love. And he can't stop loving, and he can't stop pouring out grace because it was poured out. It can't be reversed. Now, the fact that people then jump to this, they freak out, and they go, oh, that means people are going to sin, people are going to sin. People sinned before grace. So it wasn't grace that stopped, it wasn't the grace that caused them to sin. It was their nature, who they became through Adam's sin, through giving themselves over to the enemy. That's what caused them to sin. Grace doesn't make people sin. Grace makes people not want to sin. And that needs to be told. The truth about that needs to be told. So that people stop freaking out and being intimidated by grace and walk right into the arms of grace and go, phew, I don't have to do it anymore. Oh my gosh. You mean it really is up to you, Lord? You mean you meant it when it was finished? You mean I'm safe now? And if I don't understand something or if I'm doing something wrong, I can actually go to you, not confess on my knees and say, please forgive me, Lord, for my badness. Not like that. But I can go to you and say, I'm really acting stupid. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't even know how to stop it. Can you help me? And what does he say? No, you better do it yourself. I don't think that's his answer. Because he gave us the helper. He gave us the helper to help us with everything. Go ahead, Lizzie. What did you say?
I was just thinking that would be like contradictory because we know that while we were sinful, he came for us.
That's right. That's right. So while we are now in him, how much more grace abounds? People do this. They go, you get grace to get to come to Christ. Once you're in Christ, now you got to earn it. That's the insanity. That's the insanity of what's taught. So you might as well not stay a believer and just wait till your deathbed because it'll be a lot easier. You know, that's really what's taught. Rather than, I am in Christ, grace is my name. I live in it. I can't run from grace if I wanted to because it's a part of who I am because I'm one with the Father. I can't change that. I can't change my makeup anymore. We can act like monkeys or idiots or whatever we want to call it, you know, and do the wrong thing. That does not change who I am. People are mistaking behavior for identity. That's the problem with it. And if we do that, we're always going to be linked to works. And now, because they think this is a balanced view, they call it a balanced view. Oh, you have to confess to the Father and you have to say this. And it says in 1 John, you know, whatever it is, 1 John 1, 9 or 10, whatever that one is, you know, if you confess with your, you confess your sins, he is faithful and just, you know, to cleanse you, cleanse you of all unrighteousness, or to forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Well, didn't he do that on the cross? And I said yes to it. I confessed. I was a sinner. I am not a sinner anymore. So when we go back into that, we're acting like sinners again. And our identity becomes linked with that again. We start linking, just like somebody who doesn't see a healing and then identifies themselves as a failure because the healing didn't occur in front of them. Maybe it occurred later, they don't know, but in front of them. And they take it personally as if they are less. We can't be less. We're one with God. So if we are less, then obviously so is he, because we're in him. If we really get what oneness means, grace will make so much sense and there will be no more confusion. But because there isn't that understanding that we really are, it's not a fantasy, it's not a fairy tale, it's not a nice thought that we're one with the Father, it's true. What does that look like in our lives, though? Do we understand it from that place of like understanding it in our hearts? If we do, we're not afraid anymore of him. We're not, it's not the kind of lackadaisical or whatever, you know, it's not this flippant thing either. We're not afraid because we know we can go to him at any time. That does not mean we don't have the fear of the Lord in the sense that we revere him and respect him. And when he chastises you, you do change. It just happened. You don't want to dishonor him. And it's not just because you're a nice kid in the kingdom. It's because you actually get, dishonoring him, probably not a good plan. I can see he's not happy with what I'm doing. I better stop it. But it's not from this, oh, I'm a bad person and I've lost, you know, I've lost his affection and I lost his favor. It's not that. It's like a father in your house. So say you have a father, your earthly father is someone you absolutely respect and you love him to bits and you squish up with him and you'll say as a little child and you know you can have fun with him and he plays games with you and he laughs with you and tickles you and kisses you and tucks you in bed at night. But if you run around and you go take his lawnmower and you take it apart on purpose and throw all the pieces around the yard, he's not going to be happy and he will chastise you. But you do not lose any of his affection. So one of the things that Holy Spirit shared with me about grace was that grace breaks the curse. And that's obviously what Jesus did on the cross, right? It breaks the curse. But if we put God in a box about it, then we are in a box. And we're left in that limited place of, you know, not of thinking that grace is something, again, we have to figure out. Or we have to do something to have it. Or we have to do something to keep it. See, the whole idea of when people say, oh, if you grace, people have gone too far with it and now they use it as a license to sin, is they're actually saying, my behavior has to modify God's character. Or my behavior has to maintain my grace. Which means you don't really need God. Because if you have to you do something to maintain the grace, and what's the need of God? You know, well, I can do it myself. Thank you very much. So it looks like you're being really humble, but the truth is the opposite, is you're putting yourself on a pedestal saying, it's up to me to maintain grace. Because what you're saying is you're basically not confessing Jesus Christ came on the cross anymore. You're saying that wasn't enough. I need to do it now. This idea of that I'm being balanced. If I'm confessing my sins, you know, and checking myself, that's not being balanced. That's denying that grace is as big as grace is, that it abounds all the time. Just like you said, Lizzie, that healing is continually being poured out. It doesn't stop suddenly just because we had a doubt. We can stop receiving it by that, but that doesn't mean that it isn't being poured out. So grace can be stopped in the terms of our receiving the grace, our believing it enough. You mean he really is that good? We can stop receiving it, but we can't stop the grace. Grace stays the way grace is. His character remains his character. His faithfulness remains his faithfulness. His healing remains his healing. Whatever we're doing is not the determining factor. All that we're doing determines whether we're going to receive all of that goodness he wants to pour out. That's the only thing that'll do. But it's not based on our worthiness or how good we do anything. It's based on just saying, like we said before, with someone else there, just receive. That's all you have to do. You're not doing anything to get it. You're just agreeing. Receiving really is agreeing. It's not even a big ordeal where you're jumping through a million hoops. Oh, let me receive. How can I receive? What do I do to receive? You know, then that becomes the new work. Instead of it's just, oh, I agree. That's true. Healing's always poured out, which is what you did, Lizzie. Oh, that's true. Okay, and then you received it. You just agreed. And we have to agree with grace. We have to agree that grace abounds. And grace abounds where sin abounds. Grace abounds more than the sin. And if that grace is abounding, sin cannot hold you. And that's what we're looking at. That, you know, we don't break sin by being good. We break sin by letting grace abound in us. There was something else that I wanted to address about it, that there seems to be a lot of, not a lot of talk, but
in some circles, there's this talk of confession. You know, I have to keep confessing and repenting, you know, to make sure that I'm you know, not abusing grace. And it's not a question of do I confess, you know, confess or not to confess. That is the question. That's not it. The question is, what kind of relationship do I want with the one who made me? That's what the question is. The question isn't, do I confess or not? Because when I do something that I know is off, when I'm aware of it, and I go to him, I'm not going, oh my goodness, I need to confess this because otherwise my fellowship is broken. That's what's taught. How can my fellowship be broken if I'm one? It's not that my fellowship is broken. It's that I am not fulfilling what I can be in him, and I want to. The desire is there. I want to walk in his ways, and I want to walk in those ordered steps. So if I'm not doing it, I feel off. I need to talk with him about it, help me get there. That's the end of the discussion. It's not, I got to be cleansed every day. Because if I have to be cleansed every day from the standpoint of unrighteousness, then the cross, again, isn't enough. And it always goes back to that. It's so simple. It's almost like you feel like you're repeating something over and over and over till somebody actually clicks. Not somebody, but the people who are under that delusion that grace is earnable, that they have to, and they'll say grace to a degree. You know, it's grace to a degree. Okay, we can have this much, but then, oh, that's the dangerous point. Now you better pull back. And I've got to be balanced now. And then they talk about testing the spirits. It becomes this other thing that they're testing the Holy Spirit, because you can't really trust the spirits that you hear, because it could not be Holy Spirit, it could be something else. But they never get to know Holy Spirit, so how would you know who's speaking to you? And the whole thing, it's all fear-mongering again. And it keeps people back in that box of grace. And the whip, you know, you better behave yourself now. There is no freedom in it. Because the word says, where sin abounded, grace abounded the more. Should we sin then? Certainly not. But it doesn't say that you can't. And I'm not talking, this is not a treatise on let's give permission to sin. But it is saying, if we do, grace abounds. That's how it works. We can't stop him from pouring out grace, no matter how much we want to control God. Because that's really the bottom line. It comes back to wanting to control the Father. Okay, well, I misbehave myself. You better hurt me. You better be mad at me. You better chastise me, because I was naughty. But we're telling him what to do with us. Instead of he's saying, no, my grace is abounding. It's tough. No, oh, you sinned again. Well, there goes some more grace. Woohoo! Okay, you gonna do it again? More. You do it again? More. Because if he didn't, if he made it this based on our behavior, then he is nullifying what happened on the cross, which is that it was finished and we got reconciled to God. So there's this like this misinterpretation of what grace is. You cannot take it away. It can't be removed. It's impossible. It's like removing the Father from Holy Spirit and saying, okay, now you're separate. It's impossible. You can't remove grace from the believer. It's one with us. Grace is one with us. That's how we are one with him, through grace. Isn't it? It's by grace through faith.
Yeah, because when you focus on sin as action and not like a governing entity or power, then you're always focused on yourself. And I feel like maybe the reason they're so defensive about it is because they've been taught that you have to be focused on yourself, you have to look at your actions, and that's what sin consciousness does, is makes you look at yourself. Righteousness consciousness looks at Jesus on the cross, and it's almost like we're reverting back to Old Testament, where you sin, so you have to go, like, bring, like, a sacrifice or something, then you can go into the presence of God, or then you can go and do this. It almost seems like that, only
yes.
in a different
yes.
skin, with a
yes.
different skin on,
yes.
kind of thing.
And exactly.
Like, but instead, the spotless lamb. If you couldn't be holy with the spotless lamb, will you ever be holy? Like, how much can you confess? You know what I mean? Like, I think it's just that they've been taught, like, so much that have to focus on myself, that to turn away from their stuff, they're afraid, really. And I feel like maybe, you know, like the Lord, you know, can release revelation to get us out of, like, that fear. They're afraid if they turn from themselves and look at God and say his sacrifice was perfect, well, what about what's going to happen to me? Am I just going to go crazy? Like,
yeah.
Am I just going to run wild with sin? Like, it's
yeah, exactly.
This understanding that Paul was addressing is saying, well, what should we say to these things?
That's exactly
should
right.
Should we continue to sin that grace may abound? But how can we if we died to sin?
That's right.
I feel like he's like instilling identity, and he's saying, don't look at your actions anymore. Don't view your life as, and he even talks about, like, don't let people cheat you of your joy in Christ by roping you into all these fasts and moon Sabbaths and stuff. You know, like, you have liberty in Christ, and it's a new identity. You're not even focused on your actions anymore. You're not sin conscious.
That's right. And it's basically it's what it's saying is they don't trust him with them. It's like saying, I cannot trust you with me because you know how bad I really am. So they've never really died to sin in the sense of knowing that they're no longer in sin as a nature. It's not really dead to them. It's still alive. This sin is well and alive in them. I've got to modify myself. Because I self-regulate, because I sin. Okay,
yeah.
God said that, and it sounds like a good idea, but it can't possibly be true. Because the strength of the law is sin. The sin gets stronger in the law, and they're not actually yielding to the fact that they're dead to that nature. Jesus did that. They were crucified on that cross. Their sin nature was crucified on that cross, and when they receive him, they're dead and buried as well. Well, they actually were dead and buried. We were all dead and buried when he did it. But when we receive it, we get the pouring out of it into us, and it becomes our identity. And what he's been showing me is that sin cannot hold where grace abounds. It cannot. But if you don't give grace a chance, and instead you're always working on your behavior or self-regulation or self-reliance, well, then sin's going to hold. And you're going to be justified in saying, see, I knew that sin would be there. Okay, I got to try harder. It actually perpetuates the lie. Because what he does is he keeps pouring out the grace so that it, until it stops holding. Until the sin stops holding, he keeps pouring out that grace. And one day it's going to break. You're just going to really yield to grace, and then it breaks. But until it does, until we yield to grace, we're not going to get that it actually, we can get free from that curse of the law, because we're still living in the place of, it's up to me. And God's really, this is the perversity of it. It looks like you're a really pious person, and you're very, you care about your Christianity, and you're very balanced, and you want what's forthright and integrity and this, but you're actually saying God's just not trustworthy. I can't trust the maker of the universe who made me. Because it's up to me, really. And then you're living this half life in him, and it is absolutely so not only unnecessary, it's dangerous, because what happens is they then teach that to others. You've got to live a half-life in him too if you want to be good. That's it. Okay, so there's this quote-unquote greasy grace, and everybody's, they're just got a license to sin, and they're just doing their own thing. And there are those that, it's not even about license to sin, they just don't even get what grace is. They think grace is some perverted, weird thing from Satan, which says, oh, God is going to honor me and love me so much, he's going to deliver me from the call of my life, from what my purpose is. If that is not grace. That's the devil wants to deliver you from your purpose in God. God doesn't want to deliver you from that. He made you for that. That's how perverse it can get on the other side. So we have to rightly divide it. I mean, that's the only thing. And who's rightly divides it? Holy Spirit. But if they don't want to talk to Holy Spirit because they're afraid he's a seducing spirit, well, there goes up the creek, no paddle, forget, no boat even. You haven't even got the boat or the raft. And it's so unnecessary. So that when he showed me that in a moment this week, that the more you sin, the more my grace pours out. What are you going to do about it? like a challenge from God, like a dare. So what are you going to do about it? Not like, if you keep sinning, I'm withholding my grace. That's what was being taught. No, he goes, okay, sin away. Watch this. Watch my grace pour out until you can't hold on to that sin anymore if you tried. And it's like you know, it's like grace pours out like this massive river, but it's like an outpouring river, like a waterfall river. Are you going to hold on to that thing that's in your hand? No, it's going to get washed out of your hands. That's how it works. And that's what he wants people to know. I am a God of grace, and no matter what you do, you are not going to stop me from pouring out my grace. Because number one, it was already done on the cross, so it's already been happened. It's already happened. And secondly, once we're in him, when we do sin intentionally, and that was talking about the sin nature anyway. As you said, Lizzie, stop identifying yourself with the sin nature. That isn't who you are. So don't be so blooming stupid. You know, you don't want to go out and do it. The more grace you receive, the less you want to do anything wrong. Because that's the nature of grace. It frees your heart. It cleans your heart and your mind. And those things feel wrong. They make you sick inside. And that's Holy Ghost's job. To sanctify you, to open you, to cleanse you, to reveal to you, to teach you. That's what he does. But they don't trust Holy Spirit. See, okay, if the Father's okay, yeah, he made everything, yeah, that's cool. Okay, and Jesus, yeah, he's pretty nice, he's the Savior. But what's this Holy Ghost thing? They still have this thing about him that he's this weird force, power, machine, whatever, some nebulous, strange, you know, flying spirit that you never know when he might be telling you the truth, or it could be a lying spirit. I better just stay with what Jesus did. Oh yeah. Okay. But the amazing thing they'll say, just do what Jesus did. What it says, Jesus said, he will bring to your remembrance everything I said. But if you never listen to him, you're never going to hear what he said. Because he said a lot of things to the disciples that is not recorded in the Bible. So if we're ever going to hear all of that, we have to actually listen to Holy Spirit. So it becomes this, you know, quick catch 22 system where you're not allowed to really listen to Holy Spirit. So therefore you're not going to ever understand grace, because grace comes through him after you've received Christ. And now you, by grace through faith, are now saved. Holy Spirit lives in you, and his job is to alter everything from the inside out. But if you're not going to believe that he's acceptable in your life, it's pretty hard to be transformed, because you're resisting it at every go. And you're working on yourself because, you know, well, I'm a good Christian and I'm balanced. That is not balanced. Grace is so unbalanced, it's crazy. It's so radical that when you call it something like, oh, now I have to confess all the time. Oh, I got to watch my P's and Q's. There is no grace in that. That is not what grace is. Grace is madness. Grace is God's madness towards us. Like the passion that can't be stopped. Grace is that same picture of the father waiting for the prodigal son going, oh, he's coming up the road. He's coming up the road. Oh, where, here's my robe. Here's my ring. Fat a calf. That's grace. That's the madness of the father towards us is grace. And we can either receive it, or we can try to go like the brother who was angry at the father for pouring that out to the son, his younger son. We can be like that, and we can say, oh, well, he didn't do anything to earn that. What the heck are you doing with him? And that's how that other idea, that other way of thinking about grace and putting it in a box again and saying, no, I have to actually maintain my own grace. That's the old elder brother in the prodigal son story. That's what he does. He maintains, I've got to maintain grace. You know, I can have these things because I was good to daddy. But he was a lousy scoundrel and he's still getting it. And that's what people, it's not just for salvation. This is a daily walk with him that we actually get that grace is abounding every day. Just like you said, Lizzie, healing is pouring forth every day, all the time. It hasn't stopped. Since the stripes, guess what? Healing just got poured out. You can't stop it if you try. It's just going to be poured out. You cannot receive it. That part you have a choice in. But we can't stop it from pouring. It's like a, you know, like a running water, like a big tap, you know, with all this water gushing out. You don't have to put a cup under it to get any, but it's still going to be gushing out. That's His grace. It's gushing out whether you like it or not. And if it's offensive, well, basically, if grace is offensive to people, then they better talk to Holy Spirit. But see, those people that find grace offensive don't want to talk to Holy Spirit. They don't want to have anything to do with Him. Because He'd ruin the whole game, you see. Because Satan doesn't want them to have anything to do with Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit will speak the truth only. And that stops it. That stops the rigidity. That stops the self-regulation. That stops the self-control. That stops the behavior modification. That stops, I'm in charge. God, it's okay you save me, but I'll work it out from here. Thank you very much. That's the attitude. There's no freedom. And I think you mentioned it, Lizzie, before about being afraid, you know, being afraid of actually letting go and letting grace be grace. You didn't say it in those words, but that was the gist of it.
So you're kind of taught to be afraid of your sin nature.
Yes.
Like, I know I've met countless people where they're literally will say things like, oh, my flesh just rises up and I don't know what to do. But they say it with this, like, intense fear. They've been taught, you know, for years to be afraid of your sin nature. So this self-regulation that is going on, they believe is so pivotal to, you know, staying righteous with God. They, like, literally are believe that that's what it means to be a Christian. So all of a sudden this, what they believe, like, this sloppy grace message comes out. And because they don't realize that really that is biblical and it leads to true repentance, because you turn to the goodness of God and you say, God, pour it out on me. I don't know how to do this. I think, like, when you really give up, then you will see in time that ultimately it's an inside-out job. Mm. But at first glance, you're afraid because you're thinking, what's going to happen? Am I just going to, like, run wild with sin? Isn't my sin nature going to, like, rise up and take over? But they haven't taught that. They haven't, you know, soaked in that they died in Christ. The Holy Spirit can reveal that.
My habits are my addictions, and I try everything in my own flesh, you know, because I know my body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. I shouldn't do certain things to it, like smoking. So now I'm free to let the Holy Spirit of God take it from me. Thank you, Lord.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's it. That's how it works. It's the same with, you know, when we want Him.
Not willpower, not patches, not gum.
No, no, no.
That's self-efforting.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
This prince has, like, really...
When you spoken before, Gwen, about, you know, not trying to do it yourself anymore, the Spirit was so there. And I know you could feel Him because you were starting to cry.
Yes.
You were starting to cry.
Yes.
That's getting broken, Gwen.
Yes.
That is getting broken, like, moment by moment. Do you understand? Okay? That's what's happening for you.
Yeah.
That moment was like the beginning of the big break for you, okay? Yeah. It's going to be much easier from here, he's saying. Okay? Because the major thing got broken, the major hold got broken. But see, you had to risk... This is where the courage comes in. You had to risk trusting Him and His abounding grace over your own ability. And you've done that. And you've been doing it for a few days now, because we spoke earlier in the week. And now that grace has abounded enough for you for that to be broken. Do you see how He works?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
So we're watching it before our very eyes. So what the enemy meant for evil, an addiction to cigarettes, God means for good. And He's actually even so good that He's showing us in the moment, the living God, how He breaks sin in our lives. That's how He does it.
Thank you.
Absolute grace abounding until that stupid thing can hold you anymore. Because sin cannot hold where the grace abounds. Where His grace abounds, it just can't hold. And He pours it out until it stops holding. which is what just happened. You're going to find yourself doing it either less and less, or it's just going to be an overnighter. I'm not sure which one, but it's just going to be not important anymore.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, that's where but I've really got to commend you, Gwen. He wants me to commend you for this because he wants us all to know that that's how it works. You actually, you know, it's so freaky for us knowing that we're intentionally, you know, doing something we shouldn't do, sinning, whatever we want to call it, okay? We're doing it, and we're doing it every day, because when it's an addiction, you do it every day. And he wants us to know that that is grace at work. Now, if you had said, okay, I'm going to do some more patches, or, oh, I shouldn't do this, or I'll pray some scriptures, or I'll confess the word, or I'll, you know, me, I'm going to take care of it. Because I know this doesn't honor you, Lord, and what kind of a witness is this of Jesus, and all that stuff that people are taught to do, all that condemnation. But you said, no, I'm actually going to trust you as good as you say. And one of the things he has shown me, and I'm just sending it to you guys, writing it out, is we believe we have to make him keep his word. That's why we do all this stuff. The self-reliance turns into self-righteousness because we think we have to make God keep his word by our self-efforts. But see, what you did is you said, I know your word's true. You said where sin abounds, grace abounds the more. Okay, well, let's do it. And look what he's done. He broke it. I actually saw it in the spirit, Gwen. I saw it in the spirit. There was this light, and it was like, you know how the bicycle locks can lock in, and you know, you've got a little combination kind of thing? But this was one made of white light, just pure light, and it just undid it. It just went click, like the combination happened. Like grace is the combination from God, the secret combination from God to open freedom, to open our complete freedom from all sin. That's what grace is. It's that combination that, you know, and it's not secret. The only secret part is that do we let him have it or not? Do we say, okay, you can open the combination, Lord. I'm here. My arms are open. I can't overcome this sin by myself. So I'm going to let your grace abound and open it for me. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Thank you, Father.
So I can tell you, Gwen, it is going to be so short for you. But it's going to be permanent this time. Permanent.
Yes.
From him. The desire will be gone from the root of the desire. Not just, oh, Satan did this and demonic influence. No. From the inside of you and who you are, that root, whatever that was that caused it originally, is going to be just totally dissolved. There won't even be there would be nothing to hang it on anymore. That's how good grace is. Okay, that's what he wants to give. Why he wants me to commend you so that others can hear this as well, including myself, is that he wants you to say it takes that risk in trusting him to step over the line from self-reliance and self-righteousness. You know, I'm going to do this myself. Step over that line into trusting that he will keep his word. And not try to make him keep it by your behavior. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
So that's what he's giving you right now. And he wants to say, I love that you did that, Gwen. Now, you're my Gwenny. You're my Gwenny girl. You trusted me. I love it. It makes him so happy. It's the greatest thing for him.
It's hard to confess your sins before people.
Say again?
You know? But I wanted the grace. So I had to say it.
That's right.
The lights just kind of came on. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
He still loves me. His grace abounds. Because I was wondering, I don't feel good still smoking. I don't like it, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm still smoking. What's wrong, you know? And then as I kept getting hold of what you were saying, I just, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I don't have to do nothing but trust in his goodness.
That's right. That's right. Goodness. That's right. His abounding grace is the combination to our freedom.
I don't want
to
do it.
That's right. That's right. But even more importantly than you don't want to do it, Gwen, what's more important is that you're trusting him to do it for you.
Not me.
That's the important
I can't
part.
Do it no more.
That's what moves the mountain. That's what moves the mountain, Gwen. That's what moves the mountain. Your faith in him. Do you see what faith is? Faith is in trusting in his goodness. Trusting in his goodness. That's what faith is. That's what moves the mountain. Trusting in him. Not trusting in my ability to get the job done. Trusting in my, I have enough faith to get a paraplegic out of a wheelchair. No, trusting in his goodness is faith. That's why it pleases him. Why is it impossible to please him without faith? Because you're not trusting in his goodness if you don't have faith. It's not faith in getting a job done. It's not faith in a particular issue. It's not faith in my own strength and belief. It's faith in his goodness. That's what faith means. And his goodness is expressed through his abounding grace in the presence of sin.
Yes.
That's amazing. He doesn't say, go clean yourself up and then you can have my grace. He says, let my grace clean you up. Bring it here. Into the throne room. Bring it here. Bring it to me. Bring me that dirty old thing. Because I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to wash you off. I want to see it. My grace is sufficient. That means in a lot of ways. Not just so we can tolerate persecution. His grace is sufficient to do the job. To get us completely free of everything that is not like him. That's how amazing. That's why grace is amazing. How can grace be amazing if it's determined by me and I have to regulate myself to maintain it? That's nothing amazing. That's called, all right, well, we might as well be like the rest of the world. I better be good. I better do the Ten Commandments. There's nothing amazing about that.
Yeah, it's amazing, and that's where we become free, huh? We become totally, totally free.
That's it. That's it. You bring your sin in the presence of grace, and it goes, combination opened. You're off of that. That's unlocked now. Yeah, okay, you're unlocked. You're off of that. You know, like I said, that I see that bicycle lock, but it's a spiritual one. He does the combination and it unlocks. So you're unlocked from, actually, Gwen, right now, you are unlocked from that addiction. That's what he's telling you. Right now, he unlocked you. It's done. Okay, don't worry about, but I do feel like a cigarette or not. Did I buy some more? It's done, okay? It's done. Just like when we pray for somebody and we prayed for a healing and we didn't see it instantly happen. But we have faith in his goodness, so I don't care. He's good. It's done. It's done. I don't have to ask them 20 questions. Do you feel better now? What's the percentage now? From 0 to 10. You don't have to do all that. I have faith in his goodness. His goodness said that I would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. I know he lives in me. Holy Spirit was the one who does the word. I laid hands. They recover. It's not that I'm going to check up on it every 5 minutes. So you don't have to check yourself. Do I still feel like a cigarette or not? Oh, that's not what it means. He broke it by his abounding grace. The combination has been unlocked for your freedom from that addiction. Now. In Jesus' name, it was done a few minutes ago. And the reason you received it, Gwen, is because you decided you'd trust him.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Isn't that good? And I know, Gwen, that will manifest, whether it's a few days or a few minutes or a few seconds, that will manifest as a pure, complete freedom from that addiction and from being a slave to that sin. That will manifest as a truth in your life. Forever and ever, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That kind of truth.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. So that's the amazing grace. It abounds in the presence of sin. And you did not run around going, I still want to smoke and I'm just going to prove God, you know, okay, you can keep giving me, you know, grace, but I'm going to keep smoking, ha ha, because you can't stop your grace. You weren't doing it like that. Even if you did it like that, do you know what? His grace is so amazing that he'd still pour it out and you still would get free. Because you couldn't stand it anymore, because his goodness is so good, it would break you. But you didn't do it like that. So it's not about, oh, your heart's so sincere, and so God is going to then be nice to you. No. His grace is going to abound anyway. And if you've got a lousy attitude, it's still going to, his goodness and his grace is still going to break that sin. That's how good he is. Now, it might take a little bit longer with people who are resisting him, but it's still going to happen.
Lord.
You know, do we trust that he can keep pouring it out until the sin stops holding?
I think God understands that it's Satan that's tempting us to sin. Like, Satan is the one who wants to tempt you into sin, get you to sin, and then condemn you. Like, God understands that we have an enemy. It's, a lot of times, it's like, we think it's us, but no, it's like, the enemy's the one who wants us to sin.
Yeah.
We need to, like, see that.
Well,
because God's, like, on our side, you know?
Yeah. It's true that the enemy's doing it, but see, this is even beyond that. This is getting to a place where we are going to look at, forget about the enemy. We know he's an idiot. He does all these stupid things, you know? We're going to get to a relationship with God that even in our sin, in the presence of our sin, his grace is pouring forth. Who cares who caused it? That's how powerful his grace is. That regardless of who's tempting us, whether it's our flesh, whether it's the enemy, whether it's the enemy with our flesh, he's saying, in the presence of your sin, my grace abounds and breaks it. That's what happens. It doesn't matter who's the instigator. He doesn't blame us one way or the other because we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so that's not even an issue anymore. We're not even in that place anymore. Okay,
yeah.
That's the power of grace. It's beyond who's done it, who causes it, who influences us. It's not even there. That's not even his. That's not even the place he wants to share with us right now. He wants to say, "You bring in the presence of your sin, my grace abounds." That's what breaks it. That's the power of God. And we cannot have it unless we actually are going to believe that he is that good. So that we believe he's that good, then we trust him like you did, Gwen. You're a living example of that. Okay, I've tried to quit smoking for, you know, this many times, this many years. I've done all the human things you can do, and it's still not working. I don't really want to, but it's still there. And yes, it's true. Okay, Satan's the one who, you know, wants to influence you. But that's not the point. He's not the important part. The important part that is God is saying, I love you this much that in the presence of your sin, my grace is going to pour out on you and it's going to free you. That's what he wants us to know. That's his pure love. His grace is an expression of his pure love. And if people get that, they wouldn't call it greasy grace or cheap grace or a license to sin. They wouldn't get it. They'd go, oh my God, you love me that much? That's what they would say.
And then when we really get a hold of believing how good he is and how he keeps pouring out, we can receive healings. We can receive from our Father every good and perfect gift.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. That's it.
Enjoy him and fellowship with him all the time, and that we shouldn't feel like the only time we can come into his presence and seek his face is for more power to be filled up, to go out. You know, he wants us to love him for who he is, not for what he gives us or what we can get from him or what we can take from him to bring to the world. Because what he wants us to give them is him, but he wants us to have him as well.
Hallelujah.
You understand? So,
yeah
that's it. That's what I feel I should share.
You know, what you shared actually is linked, and it may not seem like it at first, but it's linked with abounding grace. Because he's saying, I want to pour out upon you and in you and fill you morning, noon, and night. And I don't want you to regulate me and keep me from being with you in an abiding, and in your experiencing my abiding presence because there's a purpose for it. Like I got to heal somebody, or this person needs a teaching, or this person needs some help over here, or revelation. But I want to do that all the time. In fact, I do it all the time. Do you want it? That's what he's saying. I pour out my presence just like I pour out my grace, just like I pour out my healing, just like I pour out my forgiveness all the time. Do you want some? That's what he's saying. Because you can have it. Or you can rely on yourself. Now, I'm not talking just you. I'm talking any of us. We can rely on ourselves. And we can turn him off, but we don't really turn him off. All we do is close our door, and so the water doesn't get in, or close our vessel. You know, we take put the cap on the vessel again and go, you know, like a vase. We cap it, and then, you know, the water just pours over it, rather than we're still receiving, but we're not going to receive as much as he wants to fill us with. So all he's saying is, if you want it, I got it. Do you want it? Yeah, that's it. It's real simple. And that is meat. That is what we have to get to, because we get so caught up in why, okay, I need more of the Holy Ghost because of, you know, I've got to pray for people, or I need more of his revelation because I've got to teach, or I need, not I just want to be with him all the time, every minute of every day. And it's not then a usury type of situation. It's just, oh, I want to sit down under the mulberry tree. Oh, wow. I love you. That's it. And he's there immediately. This morning I woke up and my husband and I were having our you know, Bible study and discussion or whatever. And I woke up saying his name, Holy Ghost. And I went, I love that name. I don't even know why, but I just love it. And I know it's different than Holy Spirit, but there's something about Holy Ghost. And I know that was the old English from probably the King James Version or whatever, but there was just something about his name. And as soon as I said his name, it's like, yeah. You know, I can feel his presence. Just his name reminds me he's right here, right now, all the time. So exactly what you said, and I think there's even more, to be honest. But, and that'll come. But that's the essence of it.
That's me.